Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a.
See, I knew he was going to be.
No, I forgot Rick was starting. All right. On the count of three, two.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Culture Referee. And this is the God Show. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And today we have a very special guest. I remember when this person popped up on the scene. I remember watching her. And for me, I love to see women that hold it down in business because it's possible. And, you know, a lot of women think you got to do this, but I always saw you handle your business, and I watched you become a premier event planner. I don't want to say promoter because you're way more than that, marketer, event planner, all those things. And she's just an all-around fan. And I think this is the last time she's ever going to get introduced as... Let's clap for Mrs. Diddy. Let's go. I'm like, it's like your heart, like, it's like, oh, it's like, so we got Miss Diddy for the show. And by the way, this girl has built, I don't want to say girl, but I feel like girl makes you feel like a,
yes.
I say this woman, it's like, how old you think I am? But this girl, you know, the girl is like that. You know, this girl has built herself, her businesses, LA culture, executives. She's done it all. And she still smiles. And looks amazing doing it.
Thank you.
So one more time for the last time, let's give it up for Miss Diddy. Miss Diddy, how you doing?
Thank you. It's loaded now. Thank you. That's like crazy coming from
I think we should tell everybody
like it's crazy coming
what's
from
happening right now. So yeah. We're actually filming
In real time
as the footage of the fucked up footage.
Yeah.
Of Puff and mm-hmm. and Cassie
yeah.
came out. And obviously you built your reputation being Miss Diddy.
Yeah.
And now Diddy has done some shit that we gotta kind of address. So I'm giving the floor to Miss Diddy. Let's go.
You know, what's tough is that my name, I'm aging myself. I've been in the business for about 20 years. And so my name came when I was in high school. They called me Candiddy.
Well,
we'll understand why.
So you was popping. You was popping at a young age. Oh, she just flipped. Rick, she just flexed on told us. Nigga, I've been popping since yay high.
We could catch the video like in elementary doing the like with the microphone.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I was.
Oh, you was on. You was up.
I was. Yeah, remember assemblies back in the day? Oh yeah, this ain't, you know.
Oh, you ain't new to this.
No, this is a real thing. And so, you know, they called me Candiddy in high school, and so it just kind of went to Diddy, and it had nothing to do initially with him. He was Puff. And so,
hold on. They gave you Puff Diddy before, so you were the first Diddy.
He was Puff. He was. He didn't go into. He wasn't Diddy.
That's incredible. I didn't know that.
And
good to know.
Yeah, I really aged myself. And so, you know, when it went to Diddy, and it was like, you know, it made sense. And then, of course, him being on the scene with that name, it was just kind of like she hustled like Diddy, you know, like she didn't, you know, and it felt great for that time, right? To be able, we have these cultural giants that we. We have looked up to in these things. And like, you know, there are people that want to be in the music industry because of so-and-so or want to do this. There's people that now want to be in the music industry and do what you've done because Ray, they see Ray, you know.
There's
and
a
so,
lot of Miss Diddy's attempting to be out here too. So let's be clear.
Oh, that there's many of them.
We'll talk about them later. Let's finish everything.
Talk about those later.
Those motherfuckers, let's go.
Ooh. So yeah, you know, and so I just say that to say, you know, I was fortunate to build a really great business and legacy around that name, you know, without foreseeing what could ever come about that could challenge something that I've built.
Yes.
That I've built. I'm talking about brick by brick, not,
You didn't coat, you didn't ride nobody's coattail.
My daddy didn't drop me $50,000 to $100,000 said start something. I'm talking about brick by brick, losses, trying to understand how to navigate, trying to manage relationships, dealing with all the stuff that comes your way as you're building, you know, I hate the gender thing, but it's just a true thing as a woman, woman.
No, I want to talk about that.
It's a real thing.
You wear it well and you wear it classy. You wear it fly. You do everything like, and you know, a lot of people behind the scenes, and this is what I like about you.
Yeah.
A lot of people, it's so much work behind the scenes that we tend to not give a fuck how mm-hmm. we carry ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just trying to get the job
done.
Nah, but you look good doing it.
Thank you.
And don't, that 20 year shit, that shocked me, because I thought you were going to say 7-8. Like, I'm like, you look better doing it.
Thank you.
Don't feel bad about that shit.
I appreciate that. I mean, I think, and that's the most authentic piece about it, because it has been that long. And like, you know, and it's just, it is time to rebrand myself, because there was a time in my career, I'm like, it's going to get to a time where I do want to just show up as who I am. But like, I'm a girl from the hood. I don't like nobody knowing my name like that. I'm from a different era. You know what I'm saying? You better let me know my name, you know? And so it's been a protective thing too, yes. right? Like it's a protective thing, because we're in this business, but a lot of ourselves is outside. It's yep. with people. It's with energy. It's in rooms. And people don't understand, unless you're in it, how much that kind of, like, you got to sacrifice pieces of you to do that.
Yep.
So I always wanted to protect it. And like, my name, I'm actually named after both of my grandmothers, so it's like really important.
Are we gonna get the reveal? Da, 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 da.
This is literally the first time I've ever said my real name on a platform.
Glad we get an exclusive. This black woman bought us an exclusive. Let's go.
No, it's a real exclusive. No, I gotta change my name for obvious reasons. The rebrand.
So we're not gonna. So after this moment, we're no longer gonna call you Miss Diddy. We're gonna call you
Candace Grace.
Oh, Candace Grace, guys. We love it. Her grandmothers, I'm so proud of her. They're like, yes.
A great name.
Yes. It's a great name.
Yeah. It's a great name. I have a beautiful name. I'm proud of it.
I like Grace too, because Grace is great.
I was thinking about just
here.
Doing Grace.
We all need Grace.
Oh, please. That's when people know my name, they're like, oh, I understand you a little more, because it's really who I am.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And so.
And not only that, we didn't know that you got that before he changed it.
That, it wasn't like you're named after him. That wasn't the origination of it. But it turned into like, nah, she also liked Diddy. She, you know? And it was cool. And of course, stamped that too. And so, not taking that away, but I have too many high level opportunities, and I work with too many people and brands that mean a lot to me, and their business a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I can't afford to challenge my business for somebody else.
Make it, right. You know the thought process of the audience.
Sure.
You already know, like, now that this is out, it's like, it's terrible.
It's so
And the crazy thing is that I think, and not to go into it, but I say to you, if he would have said during his apology, I did do wrong things, and I'm getting better. I think this footage is like, it still hurts, but he kind of hits something softer than the bricks he about to hit right now.
Yeah. We doubled down.
Like the shit he's about to hit right now, just because he said, I didn't do it. And like you, and I know he's done a lot. Like, he's co-signed you for sure. He's co-signed us.
Yeah, sure.
Puff is the reason why this show popped off.
Yeah.
Like, he co-signed this show. Was like, I don't know this guy, Ray, but I fuck with him. So it was always like
of course,
I appreciate that, sure.
But we can't negate
it. I can't separate the bad behavior and, you know, in the manner it was done. And by the way, Cassie, everyone owes you an apology. Everyone, you should have pressed charges a long fucking time ago. We might not have got all of this, but that didn't happen. But we owe you an apology, because you did suffer. And the crazy thing is that if I was Puff, I would have been like, he had to be so high, because I'm like, nigga, you should have. Soon as she said she need $30 million, you should have remembered that there's proof that I did something wrong here. Nobody went looking for it. You gave them the reason to go find it.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But back to you. So Miss Grace. I'm gonna call you Miss Grace if you don't mind.
I like that.
Okay, so Miss Grace, you started. What made you, like, where do you get your balls from?
Right. Not for real.
I don't know how to ask you that. Like, I think that's crazy to ask a woman that, but come on now, you got balls.
It's a real thing. You know what? I'm a Leo. I'm a lion.
There he
is. And I'm a real lion. Like, with the core. You a Leo?
No,
but you understand it. With the core of my being, like, God for sure birthed me on August 12th. I'm a lion. Like, I'm a lion.
Yes.
And those elements of a lion, I really, like, embody, right? Like, I can't be caged. Don't cage me.
Yep.
But I'm smooth and chilling if you don't cage me. You know, I'm just kind of rolling, chilling. But if you play with me, now I feel like
on.
It's me against you. Like, this can't be where, you know, and it became tough, though, especially being a promoter in the game and being young. I'm from the hood. I'm from the inner city. Like, I have a certain type of personality in general. Like, the first, like, please don't play with me. Like, it was always that, and everyone knew that. Like, leave her alone, please. Okay? Yeah. And so I think that, to me, it's blind bravery, because a lot of times I didn't know that I was moving in a way that felt strong. As I got older, I started to learn my energy.
Like the ball,
learn,
like that. Yeah, that I can't believe I did that.
I can't believe it. I didn't. Yeah. Well, I didn't even. It was
blind
bravery.
Think about it. It was like,
no.
I got to do it. Yeah.
And it's also survival mode, because, you know, being young in the game, and also, you know, being on my own. I've been on my own since I was 17 years old, and I had to figure out whether I was going to sink or swim. And I like to win. Mm-hmm. I love to win. I love to win at every way possible in life. Mm-hmm. And however that looks, I got to win.
So, but I think it's something different. Obviously, the Leo, but like, you've been this since kindergarten.
Right, I have.
Was it someone in the house? Was it like a mama? Was it a daddy? Was it a grandma that was like, you the shit, it's...
No, you know, my mom has a pretty big personality. Yeah. And my dad does too, and he was a musician, so like there's that element. But I think that, I don't know, man, I think it was just me.
So at what age, what's the earliest age you remember feeling like, I'm gonna be somebody?
What I identified with is seeing big things I wasn't scared of.
Yes.
I identified with it, so I felt like, yeah, I need that. Mm. I didn't feel like, oh my God, that's too big. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure when, because it was always young. Yes. I just cared. I really always wanted to be successful and be and make impact. And I remember feeling that. I don't know what that was, but I remember feeling that at a young age. Like, and the thing is too, I used to be really, really sensitive. Like, I'm still sensitive, but
Leos are so sensitive.
Don't hurt a Leo. Please. Oh.
What? Leo trait, no question.
We don't do well. We don't do well. We don't bounce back from that well at all. We don't do well, because it's like, we'll do everything in our power not to like hurt you intentionally. We can't even deal with hurting someone we love. It's like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. So I don't know, man. I was fortunate to be able to come in a time where like, it was, you know this, like, it was a good time in music, being around everyone. Mm-hmm, like, you know, I came in with Kanye. It was like before. It's,
where are you from originally?
Compton. But you know, Ye lived in L.A.
No, but I'm saying, but that is, because what really is impressive about you is there are Miss Diddy's all around the country.
Yeah, for sure.
Give them that. But the two cities where you gotta be that motherfucker is New York and
in
LA.
You better be on your square.
And so it's like, how did you, so, but you're from there.
I'm from here, born and raised.
How does it, like, how does someone from Jackson, Mississippi come to LA and be like, I'm about to change?
But this is what I tell them. Yeah. I'm not saying you can't come and do your thing and be successful.
Yep.
But you don't know how many times people have come to me over the years, I'm about to come in after city of. I'm like, okay, let me know how that goes. It just doesn't work that way.
You better learn the politics. You knew the politics of the city.
You better learn the politics. And you also better learn that relationship matters, and that's the currency.
Yes.
You could think to make all the money you want to make in the world, but the relationship is the currency. And me checking on,
say that.
How's
you
your sister?
Say that, because there's so many people that only thing they value is the money. And I'm like, if you think
it'll
money
come.
Is the currency, you don't understand.
Money comes.
It comes from, it pours into
it pours.
You.
But also, money is the easiest thing to make, and it's the easiest thing to lose.
Yep.
So there is a value on it. Of course. Yep. I love money.
We all do.
I am. And people get all messed up because the Bible don't say for the love. The Bible says for the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is evil, so that we're clear. Yes. You know what I mean? So
I like that.
It's for the love.
That.
It's what you would
the
do.
Root.
It's the root is what you would do, or what that's the part
but
that
but
makes.
If you got a good relationship with money, that's a beautiful life.
What? It's
the abundance,
freedom.
The abundance you
what
attract.
What are you talking about? Just,
and not only that, I know you. I already know.
Yeah.
What people don't understand, and I know some, and by the way, I know there are some people that watch this and might be irritated by my arrogance that you feel that
love
I'm not
it.
Showing, or Miss Diddy's arrogance.
Yep.
But it's not arrogance.
No.
It is people who have went down that dark alley,
ooh,
was told they're going to get hit, was told don't go down there, and they was like, I gotta get to that other side.
I
and they
to.
Went and then when they get over there, you can't tell me
no
nothing. How can you tell me something? You would have, because if I listened to you, I would have still been on the other side. That's where I wanted to explain that to the audience, because there's a confidence that comes with trying. That's why we only saying try.
That comes with trying.
There's a confidence that comes with.
Don't rush past that. That's good.
You gotta try.
That's good.
And you can't be afraid of the outcome.
Yeah.
Because trying is the win.
Trying is the win. And also the attempt is the win. Yeah. The attempt, and also. There's things that I've done in my career, and I'm sure much with you guys too. And I've been like, I can't believe we that just I just really got that. I can't believe, because there was a time where I didn't know that that could that even could exist possible. Or even possible. So when you see something from an idea, literally from your mind, come to fruition, like there's something about you that can never be turned off. That piece. You'll go through hell in it, but you can always tap into that because you've seen it happen the first time.
And you, and exactly, and now it doesn't feel as fast. Sure. It's almost like it's at your pace because you pace. See you see it coming. So it's like if I do that, that's gonna happen.
Yes.
So let me get, I'm gonna do that, but now I'm ready for when that does happen. I'm ready, and I love like I just love the confidence that you exude because thank it's confidence you. That I would want my daughters to have.
Yeah.
I would want because it's all it is a blind belief that everyone successful needs.
Absolutely.
That you think someone's gonna give to you, but you got to give it to yourself.
Sorry, so the most powerful moment I had in my life, in the most painful moment in my life, is when I realized, oh, no one's coming to save me.
Mm.
I said, wait, like. Kids of like
when did that happen? I have to know.
This happened maybe not probably like recent. Probably like 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Oh wow, this is recent.
Maybe not even 10. Because when you start unpacking like your childhood trauma and how you grew up and your relationship with your parents and your relationship even with your siblings, your relationship with the house you grew up in, and you start, you know, everyone's is different. You know, mine is different, of course, than somebody else's. Somebody maybe had the best experience of your life. But I grew up in a chaotic home.
Yeah.
And I had a mother who left by the time I was 17 and I was on my own. And I had a dad who was an ex-musician who didn't make it all the way where he could have. So once, if anyone knows music, once you're in music, nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters.
He always told me, don't you date no musician because you'll always become number
second.
Two.
Always. Yep.
So, you know, dealing with having a father that did his best, but all he knew was to do music and it didn't work all the way out. So that, right? So like being on my own and like having to, there's a piece of you that always feels, hope someone comes and saves me because my mom has to, my dad, somebody has to.
I know why you have that feeling because I have that feeling. You know why? Because you saved so many people. So you like, damn, like I've saved
somebody
10 people.
Somebody gotta do this.
Can somebody do this for me?
I would go,
nigga, what? You're saving
even
me.
A quarter of what
I'm
doing.
You're saving me. I'm the happiest person. Thank you. I love you forever for that.
I love you
thank
forever.
You for that. Yep. Because that's what that's a character I play in everybody's life.
Everyone's life. But you also learn that shit's abusive.
Yes.
And what I had to learn is let me get out of this abusive relationship with myself.
Yes.
Because, like,
talk about
gotta
that.
Gotta find out a no.
Talk
gotta
about.
Find how to say no. Because for me, everything is sacrificial because everything in my life had been sacrificial, right?
Exactly.
So it's like, Ray, you come to me and you need 5,000, just a round number.
Yep, for sure.
I may have needed that for something I wanted to invest in my business, invest in whatever the case may be, but you need it? Here. I'll figure out how to get that back.
Because I always do.
Because I always figure
and
it
you
out.
You don't. So here.
You don't. But that person never will. And you know what I learned? I'm no one's God.
Mm-mm.
So that person will always figure out a way.
Yep. Exactly.
We think that they can't figure out a way without us. Like, wait, what?
I got to the place where I would just tell people, like the last 10 years, I would just say, however much you need.
However.
Go find as much as you can of it and then call me.
That's fair.
Because don't tell me you need 2,000 and you didn't even ask your uncles, your mom.
You didn't.
They might give you $25.
Just
you just can't meet it. I'll finish it off after you try. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to know if you try. You
needed
$1,800. You only came up with $30.
Really?
Nigga, call about 50 more people and then call me back.
And well, for your life.
Yes.
Because I can't call you for
nigga,
mine.
I'm too busy doing what I got to do because I don't have nobody to call.
Mm-hmm.
Are you? What's your birth order in your household?
I'm the youngest. But it's weird because I'm the youngest oldest and I'm the only girl. A lot of people think the youngest, oh, you're spoiled. Like, actually, no.
No.
I have two older brothers.
And are they much older?
No. My middle brother is a year and a half older than me.
Okay.
And then my oldest brother is three years older than my middle brother. So it's not far in range.
Pretty close.
But again, it's how you grow up. When you got mom and daddy ish, and you not, like my brother not dealing with his trauma, when it's like, now I'm your mama. It's like, I don't want to be nobody. Mama, and I don't got no kids.
And because I was just asking that, because I'm like, I always tell people the two most important things when you meet somebody is their sign and the birth order.
That's how I say.
Like, obviously, you know their sex because they're male or female, sure. But like, you're a female baby born in and you're a Leo. So I mean, you have the boss in you, so it's kind of like you the baby lion in the house.
That's what it is.
And your brother, so you got two brothers, so you kind of like, so you got to fight around that.
Got to.
But I'm like, you got so, like, and the thing is, I always felt like that about you. I was like, she was raised being this shit, or she just made her way.
Because
it's like one of the two, because it was, the confidence is like, oh nah, because it's a confidence that either someone put inside you every day of your life and you believed it, or you had to put it inside yourself and you ain't gonna let nobody take that out.
It's called the thing you can't teach.
It is.
That you're born with.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a select few of people that have it.
Yeah.
And it's no coincidence you can only really connect with the people. A-likes.
Yes.
You know, and that's who you open up to. People that's not in that realm, they can't understand.
They can't even talk how we
move.
And that's why I said, that's why I stopped what I said, because I'm like, y'all going to hear a lot of proud of you, killing it, and all of that shit. So it's like, if your confidence, if that bothers you, that's more about you than it is about her. So if you're bothered by someone being confident, that says nothing about them. That says anything about you. Mm-hmm. You have a problem with people feeling something that you want to feel.
Absolutely. And
you're jealous that they feel that way. Good. And by the way,
that's good.
Not to do therapy, but I like what you said, because I always say success does not come without emotional vulnerability.
100%.
Like, because you got to look at yourself. And you got to look at where you came from. And then sometimes the best thing is when you honest with yourself about other people. Like, I never knew that a mother says she loves you until I got a girlfriend that mother says she loved her. And I was like, oh shit, parents do that? I didn't even know that. So it's like, you know what I'm trying to say? Yes. It's like sometimes, so now at that moment I could have been like, oh, that's nothing. But I was like, hold on. That bothers me.
That bothers me
that your mother tells you she loves you and my mother don't tell me she loves me. So I'm about to go to my mother and try. We got to fix this relationship. You don't tell me you love me and that fucking bothers me.
Right. And what is that about?
And then I figured out that her mother didn't tell that to her.
You see what I'm saying?
So then I'm like, yeah, but just, you didn't say it to me, but I say it to my kids every day.
Every day.
So you just chose to be that. Now I'm going to ask you to choose to be something else. If you want to be benefiting in this life that I killed myself to get.
But that's what I was going to say. Like, that confidence that you're speaking about, I can't tell you what I had to go through for that. You would have quit in the beginning.
If you saw
it. You could never step foot in what it takes to do. And we talking about consistently.
Yes. That's the hard part.
Yes.
Like, people will go try today, like, I want to work out and lose some weight. I'm going to go work out for 3 days. Check the scale. Uh-huh. Oh, I ain't lost no weight yet.
Quit.
Nah, brother. You have to be committed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With every being of you to everything in the process.
Yeah.
Not the good.
No.
Everything. Okay. So when it's hard and shit is falling down, they're like, Diddy, the person that make their flight and we don't know what to do. And you like, don't worry about it.
Right now.
Let's figure this shit out right now. Yeah. That's the leadership that I see that I'm like, we in there. So I wanted to ask you, like, so you stepping on can you tell me, for the people at home that's like, I'm trying.
Yeah.
Can you give us some of your biggest failures?
I think to understand that you don't know everything and you never will is powerful, right? Mm. So, like, I didn't go to school for what I dropped out of college. I had to go figure it out. So I didn't have higher education on my side, right? So I didn't have this degree on my side that when I step in the door, I have this degree and it says this.
Yep.
You know, I'm the little black girl doing business. So it's, well, who are your clients again?
And you doing business in Hollywood if you was the biggest promoter in Compton, it'd be like that.
That's cool.
Hollywood,
they don't understand
nigga.
It.
Where TMZ is 30 mile zone, where all they care about is the white celebrities, the white, and for you to make yourself, that's incredible.
That's what they don't understand.
Let's clap for that, by the way. We here to celebrate this black woman. We here to celebrate this black woman.
Thank you so much.
We here to celebrate you. There's no Diddy over here. No disrespect.
We're now,
we are celebrating the woman.
We're transitioning
from the there.
Yeah.
We want a big,
No yeah, more talk.
Yeah, we want to.
It's about Miss Grace.
Yes, thank it's you. About Miss Grace. Mrs. Grace.
But I do appreciate, you know, you saying that. But I think for the people that's trying, as much to like my dear brother, God rest his soul, said, but you have to go through every emotion that like he's like, I went through every emotion trying to accomplish what I'm trying to do. And like you said, I'm not saying I have this ultimate poise and say I got it all figured out. But the only defining factor is I didn't quit. You just gotta keep going. You gotta wake up. Sometimes you gotta take that thing minute by minute.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've been in all once you get to a certain level, you deal with lawsuits. I remember the first lawsuit I ever had, and it's from a girl who begged to work for me, ran up on me in the bathroom. And if the problem is me being me, I'm gonna always want to help.
It's natural.
Because that's all I really wanted as a little girl, right? So like if you a young girl and you come on, let's figure this out. Which ain't always the best thing to do, because everyone is working out their own demons, but you don't know until they come to it, you know?
Exactly.
So even my first lawsuit that came to my way, I'm like, huh? I thought that I was facing losing everything I built. This was early on in my career for something that wasn't like, wait, what? This is what could happen?
And that's not true. You tell your lawyer, that's not true. That's not what happened. He's like, yeah, you still need to pay.
Still need
so
to pay.
Us to go tell them that it's not true.
Still had to settle out. Mm-hmm. Not because it was true. Because
it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
You're going to spend more money on lawyers.
It's a loss either way.
You learn that later.
A loss or a little loss.
It's a big loss or a little loss.
That's why when people start talking to settling shit, I'm like, you don't understand.
You don't understand.
Sometimes the best option is to settle.
And get it out.
Because get it out the way. Because you're going to be paying lawyers $50,000 every fucking 2 or 3 months while they sitting there going through the process. So it's like,
talking about, I did it. Yes, you did. I did it. No, because what you learn in business is the quicker you can get past something, get over something, move something to get it done with, is the better you can continue to run.
Move forward. So I want to tell you something. So in Atlanta, we're known, humbly known as Black Hollywood.
Yeah. Where'd that come from? But go ahead.
I was about to say.
Okay.
You created in real Hollywood the toast to Black Hollywood.
Yes.
What was your thought process and how getting that and putting that together? Like, what was in your head that you said, I have to do that?
So, what's Toast to Black Hollywood, which was initially called Toast to Young Hollywood. I changed it to Toast to Black Hollywood after 2020 when everything happened with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. And we started really, I mean, we always knew, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm from Compton, after police, like, we know. But we're seeing something happen before our eyes that you cannot act like this is not happening.
Yes.
And this doesn't feel the way it feels. Mm-hmm. And for me and my business, I wanted to be brave in my communication that I am proud to be a Black woman. And I can't see a white woman that could sit in my shoes, sit on this couch, and be able to speak to the things that we go through every day.
Coming from where you came from.
Coming from where I came from to where I've been blessed enough to grace and be around. And so I wanted to be brave in my communication that, yeah, it's cool toast to Young Hollywood. And it was more of like, for us, it's peer-to-peer. Yeah. I wanted us to be able to say,
yeah,
I'm so proud of you. I love you, friend. Like, you really killing it. And I want the world to know that I see you, right? Because that's how I always was, even in my intimate relationships with people in the industry. And so that's where it derived from. So me changing it to Toast to Black Hollywood was a really bold thing for me, but it was important. It was important that even the partners and whoever wants to do business with me understands that I'm not backing down from being Black. This is what it is. And you either want to be a part or you don't. And that's cool, too, because I serve one God, no man. So I'm not concerned, you know. And so, yeah, but it was really originated from that. I wanted to do a peer-to-peer moment. And also, more importantly, I was always the girl, too, before I became a little more loud in my career, because I'm a worker bee. Like, I'm a work. I'm going to keep my head down. I'm a work. I'm a hustler. I'm going to keep going. And so I was always the girl that was doing most of the stuff that no one knew that I would be doing. Like, nah, did he the one that put that together?
Yeah.
Did he want to introduce me to so-and-so? Did he want to put that deal together, you know? And so I wanted those people to be able to have some shine some light on. So that's why I never, mine isn't about this big artist that we want to make sure we see. Nah, what is the executives?
It's about us.
The executives. My friends are the executives and the managers and the A&Rs.
And they're taught to not take credit. So sometimes someone has to give them the credit.
It's true. So even my first toast to Black Hollywood, I actually honored Dallas.
Yep.
Dallas was one of them. Steve Rifkin.
Shout out to Dallas Martin. He's Blue Couch. And that is my brother.
Right.
I love that nigga.
I love him so much.
Straight up. And I love that nigga.
For sure.
I can definitely vouch for my peers.
Me too. Oh, what? Like,
if I look up to you and stand on it. Because I already know what it is.
That's
and
it.
I already know the cloth. And it's certain things is not in certain people, but that'll get figured out. But I just want to shout him out because we need more of that. The disrespect should be just as loud as the love. The love
that
should be just as loud as the disrespect. But I was going to tell you, so you've obviously honored people, and now you're being honored by Black Enterprises at the 2024 Disruptor Summit. So let's clap for that.
So, big congratulations to that.
By the way, I want you to talk more about that, but I want to just tell the people at home, the power is in shining a light, not getting the light shine on you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you figure that out, you figure you control light, it just makes your life so awesome. Because now you're like, I got the power to shine a light. Fuck me. It becomes about how can I help you? And if everybody thought like that, we would be a room full of people helping each other. What you need? So I just had to say that. But I want to congratulate you. So tell me about how you feel about that.
I'm super excited because I only wanted to do business in this world. I don't sing. Mm. I don't have the gift of song. Hallelujah. I do not rap. I can rap though. Let me stop. I can rap. I do not rap. I do not act. I can't remember lines, but I can remember every single rap song.
You can play yourself,
it's not
though.
You know what I but I can't. I'm not about
you
to get on
a lady named Michelle.
Crazy.
That's a boss chick running the company. You can do that though. I mean, it's
Olivia Pope. But you know, my gift is business. I've been great in building good business acumen. Like I understand, I love business, the art of people, the art of negotiation, the art of a deal being done, the art of being like, is it closed? We got it. Like bet, you know, the Steve Stouts of the world, that type of thing is what I cared and looked up to. And so Black Enterprise is far more important to me than a lot of media or publications for that in particular. Butch, the CEO, it was his father's publication. They've been over 50 years. Mm-hmm. That's the magazine that was on your Black Enterprise.
Exactly.
But you knew that was Black people, Black excellent business people.
I want to ask you a question. You talking to a whole bunch of young 18-year-old girls.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, young Miss Grace is in there, right? 18-year-old you in there. And you're telling them what it's like to be a woman in business. Mm-hmm. What would be some rules or some guidelines that you would say, if you never talk to me again, I want you to remember these things as a woman and as a businesswoman, because you carry it well.
I would want to say to remember yourself. Mm. Remember who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when people say that, it sounds cliche. It's not cliche. Remember who you are. Remember what you are doing it for. It has to be something bigger than, I don't know, being famous.
Or buying, buying a car, dream car.
But I was just going to say that. A purse, whatever. Those things come. Remember what you're doing it for. Is it community? Is it family? Is it to be an inspiration? Is it to be impactful?
Yep.
It's. I would say to figure that out. Don't just want to be famous. You got like... Listen, Kim Kardashian has built something that we have never seen before. Give her that. Her and the Paris Hiltons of the world.
Period. Facts.
But she's not a Black woman. And because she's not a Black woman, she was able to say, I only wanted to be famous.
Yes.
She says it over and over again. By the way, she accomplished it. The best to do it.
Yep. Family is the best.
The best to do it. But she only wanted to be famous. So for me, I have to figure out at what cost am I doing everything? What cost? What does this come with? Am I willing to eat that cost? Is that playing in on my integrity?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to do everything right, because right is relative. What's right to you may not be right to me and vice versa. But remember who you are and remember yourself.
Mm.
And remember that people are looking at you. You know what I mean? Like, I got that. My little cousins that work for me, make money with me. Ain't no just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm showing them the world, flying them where they need. They're able to go home to our family. And, no, I was with cousin Candace, I can say now. You know what I mean? Like, cousin Candace and this
that,
is
that's
and
the
that.
Past right yeah, there. You were Candace, you're good. Oh my God, know you're not doing nothing dumb. Mm-hmm.
They can't even call me nothing public. Like, yeah. You know? But, you know, and just remember that there are people looking at you. If you want to get to the see, I like number one. I like to be so.
You know what it is? If you want to be number one for the long time,
yes,
you have to be dedicated to the work that comes with it. You can get lucky today, do something, and be number one tomorrow, but that doesn't mean you're gonna be number one a day after that.
No, you have to stand the test of time.
You have to stand the test, and that comes from learning and doing the process,
absolutely,
and honoring what you feel like you was born to do. So the next question is you have. Where do you get your faith from? Like, I'm always interested in the makeup of people because when you're young, you're just trying to get through the day. When you know, as you get older, you just start like, and then you get to that place where like, I don't want to get through anymore. I want to get up, right? And you're like, I got to figure out, like, I'm going to go for it. Like, my faith came from my father dying. My father died, my sister right there, our father died, and I remember being at his grave. And as soon as you said the greatest, most moment that changed my life was also the most painful moment.
Yeah.
It took me back to being at my dad's grave, not his grave, at his wake. And it was like, everybody was just acting normal. Like, you know, like, oh, how you doing? You know, hey, and this was my fucking father that died. This wasn't like, it was like the world stopped for me. And I was 22 years old. And I remember thinking like, I'm not going to be him. It was almost like his death gave me permission to be what I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Because if Bill Cosby was my father, what would I be?
Yeah.
If Bill Cosby was my father and I worked at Delta, niggas would be like, why are you working at Delta? Your dad is Bill Cosby. But because my father was who he was, people were like, Delta's so good for you, stay there. Man, fuck y'all. I'm going to determine how far I go. And it was seeing my father die and realizing that he couldn't go where he wanted to go because he was always worrying about, nah, fuck that. I'm taking us up. So for me, where that, and by the way, I felt like, I hate to say this, but I felt like, I couldn't let his death be in vain without me making my motherfucking name count. Like, I'm going to make it count.
Absolutely.
Where does your faith come from?
Man, I've in my whole career, have always said, probably if I did 10 interviews, 9 of them, I said this only because one of them I probably forgot in the moment. But I am a woman of God. I'm a woman of faith. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I respect everyone's religion. That's me. And that is
because. Let's get it for God.
Let's get it for God.
Cuzzo, you got to clap with the hand for you. Clap for God.
She knows.
You got to do that.
She clap for God. No, and I say that not from a boastful place or a holier than thou place. I say that from a place of, if I had God on my side. Now, you know, because we could go there. But for me, it's really what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. I got to be able to look at myself in the mirror. Not for
good.
Y'all.
And feel good, yes.
And I'm not saying I haven't made mistakes. I'm saying that has to be at the forefront of what I'm doing. And honestly, it was really just, I feel like my grandparents died young. Like, two of my grandparents were already gone by the time I was born. And then the other two died fairly when I was young. But I feel like I have the spirit of my great-grandmother, my great-grandparent. My great-grandmother was like, her name was Beatrice Brown. And she was a minister. But back then, you couldn't be a minister as a black woman. And she had the respect of everyone. There's a gentleman named Thomas Dorsey who they say to be the godfather of gospel music. She did all his work, his events. She was a songwriter. She wrote Mahalia Jackson, like everything. My great grandmother has songs in the hymn book right now. If you pull a hymn book, I'd be like, that's Beatrice Brown's song.
Yeah.
And so I feel like her spirit just like lives in me as a little girl. I would go to church even when I got my car. I was going to church on Sunday. I was at the skating rink on Saturday night with the homies, like, what's up? And everybody knew I'm going to church. Where's Ken? She at church. It's Sunday. Whether my mom was getting up and going or not, it was just something in me. So I'm really grateful for God choosing me, because that's what it was. Like, he chose me. It was like, but there's a lot of things he told me, like, play with me if you want to.
Because I could not pick you. I could take it from you.
He'll raise up a rock.
God, meaning you
ain't as lit as you think you are, bro. Like, I'll go get this rock. to give them your place. Like, do you the concept of that?
I love that.
Like,
I love that.
I'm grateful for
I want to ask you, I have to ask you this, because it's not fair, because I don't ask this to men. I want to make sure I say that. It's okay. Not fair. But I should. But moving I want forward. To ask, for going forward, I will. But how do you deal with being a woman, dealing with men on a personal side, mm-hmm. and still being able to maintain a relationship or try to maintain a relationship? You might not even give a fuck, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with that. But I'm like, mm-hmm. how do you deal with the moments of like having to deal mm-hmm. with, you know, men following relationships and then like being like, I don't care what you want, nigga. I'm Miss Motherfucking Grace, nigga. Because there's a lot of women out here who feel like, because I believe that women's natural inclination is to follow. That's where they yes. are in their best inclination. Like to the, that's why when a woman gets married, her father walks her down the aisle mm-hmm. and hands her off to
absolutely.
Her to her husband, and she takes his name, and now you're their family. It's a lot of that. So, but obviously, a lot of these niggas ain't really bossing up. Like. Oh. They ain't keeping up. So how do you deal with dating as a female entrepreneur that has her life in front of her, but like, and obviously, you know, you don't want to be alone. Like Oprah always had
exactly.
a Steadman, but how do you deal with like managing the man and his expectations of where you're trying to go in life?
It's really tough because I don't, it's not something that's, it's tough because I tell men, like men think they want me, and I'll be like, you don't want me. You like the idea of
yes.
this. You want this woman that's really making a way for herself, and in all intents and purposes, all boss yeah. chick or whatever you want to call it. But like mm-hmm. this woman that's successful, she got her own. I want my girl to have her own. Man, don't.
I know.
Most men, I'm not saying that, that's don't true. Want it because you don't want what comes
don't
with worry. That.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What if I get home after you? Because I was out with you. But I had to be out with you. We were talking and doing a business deal, and we went to go pick up Carmen, and we went to go slide to such and such, and we ended up at Rocksteady or end up at
and
Opie.
I saw this
but
person
we
who told me they wanted to do
exactly.
something with me,
and
so
we
now I got to focus.
What
yes,
are you talking
I,
about?
Yes.
And what if I get home after you?
Yes.
Is that okay with you?
See, I'm glad you asked that because I actually, that to me, that is my problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my only my problem because I'm gonna carry the weight of all
so that's what
anyway.
I was going to say. So yeah. here's the thing,
that's
which
true.
I was going to go to that. I say that because then I tell a man, you don't want what I'm carrying.
Yep.
Because that means you got to carry yours and mine. You don't know what these shows.
I'm about to say, you don't
most
know.
Most men, you have no. You, it ain't just a bag or the car, by the way. Like, this is real.
It is 24/7, 365 maintenance.
100%.
I take very good care of myself.
And everything around
and,
me.
And if you're not
so
going
if
to.
I'm not, because so here's the thing. I live my life that's my focal point.
Yep.
So if you want me to even kind of shift my focal point from that I know to be true, you know what I know to be true? What I'm building.
Yep.
Even through everything that's hard and tough, and when I want to quit and be like, fire everybody, I'm done, I know this to be true.
That didn't leave me. I left it.
Yep. If so.
Yep.
So you want me to give you all of this attention, love, and affection, which men need and you're supposed to need because you guys are kings, right?
Thank you.
But can you carry my type of
Kingdom.
You know what I mean? And most men
can't.
Not because they don't want to. Not because they don't have the tools. Maybe their father wasn't there to help them understand. You know, a lot, especially for black men. Honestly, I say this, no disrespect, but if I liked to date outside of my race, I'd have been married. Man, crazy. Top tier over here. Cream of the crop over here. Okay?
Man.
It's not a, because also black men think they have more time than they do.
Yeah. Well,
and y'all be
on that.
Too lit.
Hold on. Elaborate on that a little bit because I've been suffering from that. The last 2 weeks, that's been my life. So I'm like, is this motherfucker
right?
calling me out? Like,
is
you in my house?
Right?
No, because I'm like, I do believe that. Because I'm
going to
say,
time.
I think that we don't talk enough about how if you don't, in life, you're either chasing or you're settling.
Sure. Wow.
You're either sitting still at your job working or you're chasing something, wow. right? So if you're sitting still at your job, then that motherfucker better be good enough for everybody,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're chasing, you ain't got time for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got to run with me or be okay that I'm going to come back. And I got to the place where, I ain't gonna lie, I got to the place in my life a while ago where I got tired of apologizing to people. Like, man, I'm sorry, man. And then I was kind of like, man, I'm not apologizing no motherfucking more. Yeah. Like, hey, man, hey, listen, man.
This is what it is.
I'm in my motherfucking moment. I'm in my bag, and I don't want to let that go for you. So if you think that I'm going to stop my life to make sure you feel good about yourself, meanwhile, I'm making myself feel good about myself, we got a huge disconnection.
But much to your point, that's the same thing with Black men that are starting to excel in life with women, because it's much of that. It's like, you finally, you done worked hard, you figured it out, you finally, you were struggling, you had no money, you were sleeping on your homie's couch, the whole thing, you finally got to the point, boom, and now it's like, well, you should be committed to a really good woman, which you should. Then the Black man is like, I finally got here, bro. I'm outside. Did you see?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keisha, Serena, you know what I'm saying? Like, about three Kims, LaToya, Tina. Like, did you see them? Like, and then we're like, yeah, but hey, like, we have only a couple more years.
They still need second chances. But they never had a chance to live.
But then I also think that we don't do enough talking about
open communication.
Yes, because I was going to say, and by the way, I want to give our community a little bit of grace. No pun intended. Here's why. Because when we were kids, like, my sister's right there. When we was kids, like, generational wealth wasn't something that our parents even thought was possible. Like, our parents wanted a good job.
That's it.
And a woman just wanted to be a wife with a man with a good job. Mm-hmm. But then we start getting access to information, and we all want more now. So now, because either one person gonna have to work hard enough to pay for our dreams, or we both gonna have to work just as hard to cover our dreams. But we don't sit down enough and say, hey, look, here's where I'm trying to go. Like J&B had to say, like, yo, we got to stop to have a baby.
Multiple conversations.
Okay, let's stop here. Mm-hmm. You're performing at the MTV Awards. Mm-hmm. And that, so we'll probably announce it there. You have the baby in the new year before the Grammys. So now the baby's born before the Grammys. So now we're here. But a plan. Because I got shit I want to do too.
Most men don't have a plan, though, for their lives, and definitely not for a cohesive family life. Much grace, though, I'm saying, too, because much of what you're saying about that, I remember having this conversation with my family because my grandparents, so we're talking about the 40s or something. Mm-hmm. They all had, like, my grandmother and my grandfather bought a home. My grandmother, my mom's mom, left three properties by the time she was 49 years old, she died. Left three properties. I mean, I'm not big. I'm not talking about big old mansions, a cabin upstate, you know, a property in Philly, a property. My family's from New York. But ownership, when it was illegal for Black women to own property. But you know what happened? As soon as she died, and my mom was 23 and my aunt, her sister, was 19, they sold it. So my grandmother didn't sit and say, hey, I don't care what you got to do. Don't you sell this property.
Period.
I don't care if you got to sleep outside. Don't sell this. This is going to save the family later. I had family. I was in Indianapolis. My dad's side is from there. I'm sitting around. They talking. Say the street address is 1117. Yeah, because remember at 1117 house, grandma house. I'm like, they all talking about the memories. I say, hey, who got the house though now?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking, because now I'm an adult.
Yeah.
Hey, who got the house though?
Yeah.
Oh, no, who last person that owned it was a kid, and he's so, hold on. So this house y'all dreaming talking about that we owned in our family, so no one has this in the family? All y'all grown behind in so much grace. But here's the thing. I had this conversation with my aunt. She's like, you know what? Our grandparents, first of all, it was a time above that they weren't supposed to be reading.
Yeah.
So that some of them didn't even know how to read. So that level of communication.
I mean, we always need someone to help us understand what's going on,
because
we can't figure it out ourselves.
But it was also always against us. The odds are always been stacked against us. I didn't start in the green in life. I started in the red. And I had to figure out how to get to the black to get to the green.
Yeah, and then you still like feel like, how can I keep it green
for a long time?
And this shit keep going from green to black.
How do I keep it green?
Then you going from green to black. Then how do I get black so fast?
Black.
What? I know it.
So grace for the black man. I'm saying that to say there are things, you know, we have a whole drug epidemic that dropped in our inner city. You know what I'm saying?
Wiped out a generation.
Compton was a farmland. I have this conversation all the time. Like, y'all know the Compton Cowboys. Shout out to Randy. Like, we grew up with horses.
Yep.
It's a farmland. Pigs, dirt roads before it was cement. All of that. How they get drugs and guns?
Yep.
That was farmers.
We don't know, and we don't value each other enough to understand that we need each other. And by the way, we do know that was programmed, but we have no more excuses.
No.
There's no more excuses.
But it did set us back.
It did set us back. But if you were telling your kids, it's like, I don't give a fuck if they have an advantage. You still need to go, and you still need to compete. Mm-hmm. And don't give them no excuses to, like I always say, you gotta be twice as hard, work twice as hard to make half as much.
Mm-hmm.
We know that already. So we get that already, but that doesn't mean we don't try. And it also, and the one thing that can stop that is our support and love for each other. That's why I had to see footage on what Puff did to say, I ain't with that. I got it. Even though I'm wrong, that's cool. I'll trust again. I'll trust again. Not him, but I'm saying I'll trust someone again. I'm not going to make, because he said a lie, and make James a lie. Like, it's like we don't trust each other. We have, and if we trusted each other, and trusting each other means I'm going to do my part. That's what trusting each other really like. Like, trusting each other is like, I trust Miss Grace. I trust Rick. So that me trusting them allows me to do everything that I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Now, if I didn't trust y'all, I'd be over there. What are y'all doing? How y'all doing? Well, and now I ain't getting my shit done.
Yeah.
And we ain't getting nowhere.
I also think not trusting and being not trustworthy to others in general, it's became a part of our personality because we were slaves.
Yep.
So we had to look behind our back for who was coming to do what. It's a part. We don't understand how much of it is a part. It's a piece of. It's embedded in us. We have to fight against those things that were embedded in us. The other, they don't, not us like that, but they don't feel that way. Other, they don't, why? They're the ones, you know what I mean? It's like,
That's why I tell you, I don't talk about, like, I was on a panel like 10 years ago and they killed me. Cause I was like, I'm not talking to my kid about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, what? How dare you? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, bro, I cried when Obama won.
Sure.
Because I didn't think it was possible for a black man to do what he did. My son, he lives in a world where it's like everything is possible. So why would I tell him about when things...
Now, mind you,
he turned 17, 18, yes. But we be telling kids about slavery when they're 8 years old. Like, they got to go out and live with these people. They're not mature enough to understand that that was wrong and that wasn't this person. Because I remember when I was a kid and I saw Higher Learning. And it's that part where he got the gun to his face, like, who's the monkey now?
Mm.
I left Higher Learning, like, man, we'll fuck a white boy up.
That's why I'm watching movies.
And by the way, I was wrong, but I was a kid, but I was just so angry. And now to realize, it's a kid. So now, why are we showing these images? We should be investing in images that show how to get along.
Well, the thing is, much to what you said, the problem with those images is that's American culture to what they were programmed to tell us. But you know what? It's like almost like black people, like we started there. But why are we not talking about the kings and queens of Egypt?
Yep.
I went to Egypt and went to the pyramids and went to the tombs. And I said, wait, they're starting American history as slavery. When in actuality, we're not talking about how we lived here. This is our this is who we are.
We don't want these motherfuckers to know.
That's it.
And that's the reality. Mm-hmm. Because you're looking at three people mm-hmm. who all decided I can be what I want to be. Mm-hmm. And if everybody decided that in our community, where the fuck would black people be?
So far.
Oh my God.
You know where
God.
I would be? I would have that hat and those glasses. I really want to discuss. I want to discuss how fly.
My hat, my glasses.
They're so crazy. I'm listening to you and I'm deep in this conversation, but I'm really focused on these glasses. I feel like with my Jimmy Choo shoe.
They do match.
And it just goes crazy. And this Chanel crazy earring. I feel like if I would.
Light flex.
I'm just saying. By the way, every single time Ray got that shit on, it is on. And from a person who puts it on, I can say it.
I'm
going to go get
it. Before we're over, I want you to send me the address. How long you in town?
Monday.
Okay, I'll probably get it to you. I'll hit the guy who sponsors.
Threaten me with no good time.
Because I would give them to you now, but I want to get your own in the package.
Yeah, I want the package.
I
want
to get your own, but so we'll make sure that I hit. Shout out to Wisdom, Latif. I'm going to hit Latif and tell him.
Latif?
Yeah, Latif. You know us, the part owner, also.
I'm working.
Cortez. You know Cortez?
What do you mean? Of course. That's Tez's line that he did the collab with. Yes,
this is his.
I said, Tez, you better do the glasses.
So Cortez.
Cortez.
Matter of fact, I want to call this nigga.
He was leaving today. He was supposed to come see me yesterday.
I'm going
to
make.
You know I've known Tez since I was like 19, 20 years old.
Cortez
has been rich. He's been rich a long time.
He's going to pay for it.
But Tez is the only real rich person that's going to show up in a minivan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be like, why is this?
Exactly.
It's mm-hmm. unnecessary.
Let's see
Does he not? He shows up in a minivan. Why?
Let's see if he answered the phone. But Tez is definitely.
Tez, you better answer the phone.
He definitely going. We gonna get your glasses.
Oh, he might be traveling. Dang, because you really could have been like, I'm with Candace.
No, I'm texting right now. Oh, he knows you as.
He know for sure.
Tez is okay. Hold on, I'm texting right now.
My OG friends be trying to slip that Candace in. I'm like.
Hold on, I'm taking it right now.
Yeah, right. That's me. Am I not there? It's not in public. I see dead people. It's like that.
That nudge, like.
Nah, I already know. See, we get that together. So
like
you have this thing called A Toast of Black Hollywood, mm-hmm. and you also have this thing called Brown Girl Lux.
I'm a charity.
Yeah. A charity.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they both are intentionally mm-hmm. speaking to the audience that they're for mm-hmm. in the title.
Absolutely. It is.
I just love that brown girl. Like, I love brown it because girls. I have a...
Yeah.
Having daughters, you just start understanding. You gotta... They need to see that value.
They have to see it. And you gotta talk to them about their woman parts. It is such a very serious... Yo, men don't know women's bodies, y'all. I know y'all be thinking, y'all be doing... Y'all laugh.
Can you teach us a little bit? I'm laughing because I really don't... I know I don't. I want you to tell me.
No, but I'm saying...
What don't I know?
Much to... Okay, look, but... Okay.
Uh-oh, mm-hmm. Here we go.
Name...
Go ahead. Let's do it. I got it, KG. I got it. Let's do it.
I'll get four. I ain't going to even say five. Women parts that men don't have.
Vagina?
No. Like, inside the body.
I wasn't the best student.
Oh, now you're not the best student.
I admitted it.
Now you're not the best.
I am folding and I'm throwing it to Rick who went to...
Ovaries. Good job.
Cervix.
Good job. Okay, now okay, but I'm going down. Go with a women organ. Yeah. Uterus. Good job. A what? A band.
A what? I throw this motherfucker. You got your ass.
No, for real.
You embarrassing us, nigga.
Fallopian tubes.
Fallopian tubes.
Cervix. Like, we had things that men don't.
I just want to make it known that I'm glad that I helped prove that we don't.
That's real.
I'm okay with proving that we don't. I have work to do, Miss Grace. I'm telling you, Miss Grace, I have work to do. That will do the work.
That is why.
Now I understand why KG was like, he doesn't know. He think he does. He doesn't know. I'm KG. I didn't know. Let's go.
One thing you guys don't understand fully is our hormones. And how it takes us out. And I think a lot of relationships don't last after having a child with someone because most oftentimes women are going through There, I'm down with you.
I'm blushing so bad. She's shooting us so bad right now. Nice. I was a man. I can't defend us, guys. Keep going. I want to defend us, but I can't. You're just hitting it on the head. Yeah. Hitting on the nail.
Hormonal imbalance. Your heart. But women have postpartum depression. You know what postpartum very depression real. Is.
I've heard that.
You've heard that. But the fact that you just heard, you know what I mean?
I never dealt with it.
And got kids. Like, women go through so much hormonally that we can't even deal with. My good sis over here is shaking her head because sometimes you got an attitude. You acting da-da-da-da. We don't even know what's going on. We can't control it.
How can I help you control it?
You need to have you need to help women understand.
I'm like, help us. This is turning to I'm like, please help me. I want to know.
A lot of patience. And also proper checks on certain things. Because what happens is my foundation came from because I had my fibroids removed. And I realized how much black women are not having the conversations with each other. They're not, go ahead.
Do I have fibroids?
No, see, that's my point to you. I just learned. Yet again, you know, not knowing.
Now I learned. I'm learning, guys.
Let me tell you, fibroids grow in
I really want to know. Uterus. I don't know. I'm like, oh, I have mine.
Where the baby grows is where fibroids grow. You can't make a baby, which is, we won't discuss, but men aren't women, but keep going. So, you can't, I'm just saying,
I love it.
You can't make going. A baby. So in the uterus is where fibroids grow. Sometimes it gets complicated. Also, women have what's called cysts sometimes.
Yes.
Cysts grow inside your cervix or outside your cervix, on the lining, which is very dangerous. I actually end up having both and I had surgery. But the thing about it is most black and brown women deal with it.
Okay.
So you can do a poll of 10 black women, you know, all y'all should do it. All you men should do it. Ask women, see how many women are dealing with it. And then ask them how bad is it.
I'm gonna make sure I heard you.
So ask 10 black women that you know, do you battle with uterine fibroids? Or do you have fibroids? Do you have fibroids? Do you have fibroids? And see how many out of those 10 women actually have it. And then ask, what do you suffer from?
I'm not gonna lie. I think I would nominate her for president of women too. I'm not gonna lie.
It's important.
Let me tell you why.
It's important.
We have two candidates, but I think I'm not gonna lie. Shout out to Gigi. They could be president, vice president. I don't care.
Yeah,
like it could be different stuff. But I'm like, because the reason I say that is because you just made life so much better for us, men. And I want to make this known that to every woman that's watching this. As men, we really don't know.
Yeah.
And we should, and instead of guessing what we don't know, which is how impossible is that to guess something you don't know. Mm-hmm. Help us by educating us because now I feel very close to the female gender and I want to ask them all, are their fibroids okay? I'm going to be asking women, are your fibroids okay?
Please help your brother.
Hold the fuck up. She just said ask women about their fibroids.
I feel very close.
Hold on. I made the question wrong.
Female shifter.
How should I ask the question? Somebody's
so funny. No, you have to ask the question. You and can't I ask want the that answer. Question. And I want the answer. And no, but ask, it don't gotta be babies, all of them. It's gotta be the homegirls. Ask them, do they have they ever battled with fibroids? And if so, what has happened to them? You will learn that we are going to work in pain. Y'all think we are being dramatic. We are bent over in pain, taking ibuprofen 800, five of them a day to try to stay standing up. We have pain in our backs because of it. We are throwing up. We are nauseous. We are fainting. Ladies, am I lying?
By the way, since we've been filming this show, I've never seen this many women bobbing their heads at the
right.
Like every woman's
on any
like
topic on any time, right.
No, you know, I'm like, how the fuck
we are. We and let need me to tell learn you, that. Even taking it a step further, this is how you know it's a man's world, which I don't have a problem with it per se. There's no laws that say for a woman that has to have a period every month, which we have no control over, we don't even get no day off. One. You have no clue the pain of the first day or two or three of a period. My pain was so the ambulance would have to come pick me up.
Damn.
I would have what's called ovarian cyst rupture. So I have cysts on my ovaries that would rupture, and there's nothing you could do about it. It's poison just coming out, trying to come out of your body.
She should definitely be the president.
This is why I created the foundation.
This is the one of the most important informative shows that we've
ever did.
Don't say
no. I'm dead serious about this.
No, receive it.
I ain't taking that.
No, can I tell you, let me tell you why. Because nope. Because let me tell you why. I'm let me give you more credit.
Y'all have the most impactful conversations.
Women usually speak from an emotional standpoint, which makes men
not understand.
But yeah. When you can calmly sit us down and explain to us, mm-hmm. here's how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm.
Now you're feeling.
No, I got mm-hmm. it further. I'm gonna take it further.
Here's what's going on.
What you really did for me that I want to give you, I'm saying it on record.
Thank you.
You didn't say this is how I'm feeling. You said this is how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
now it's like, oh, okay. Because sometimes you might, as a man, I'm being honest, you just woke my brain up. Sometimes a man, I'm thinking, this girl is crazy. Not knowing
sure.
that all of y'all.
Sure. No, I'm not saying
it like that, but I'm saying I know all of y'all are going
that's
through
a,
it. Yeah.
No, that's a real thing. Yes, after I had my fibroid surgery, my removal, first of all, I'm not like a, I don't lead with emotion.
Yes.
I've just trained my brain not to. So I'm pretty rational. Real I'm even killed real like energy. That. Yeah. And so I was like, what? Something's wrong. I don't feel well. After my surgery, my hormones were taking over. My weight was fluctuating. That's another thing you guys don't understand. When your hormones, see women, it fluctuates your weight. You can't control it unless you're on hormone, something that balances out. Mm-hmm. But this is what I'm saying. The doctors, you know what they don't do? Let's check your hormones. Let's do a hormone panel.
Mm.
Look, they're not doing that. Not for no black woman. Because you know what? We walk in there and we sit like this because we know how to hold pain.
Mm.
When I was going in for getting with my fibroids, this was an ongoing situation. My doctor said, oh, you look great. You work out, don't you? 5 times a week? Look, yeah.
Nigga, if you were
great. Before. I'm like, yeah, but I'm in pain.
Yeah.
Well, 1 to 10. 10.
Nigga.
But I look like this walking in with my sweatsuit, and I'm just kind of like telling you because black, we hold pain. Mm-hmm. So the white doctor is like, no, she's not. She's fine. They was sending me home. Finally went to OBGYN. Her name is Dr. Taya Saliabadi. She's the best in the world. And she was like, one visit, she spent 2 hours with me. She said, okay, so you gotta get these out of you. It's mm-hmm. poor. I said, what do you mean? They told me I was, as long as it's not bothering me and I'm fine, don't worry about it. She said, you haven't had a child. You're in your 30s. Have they done your egg count? No.
I don't know what that is.
We don't even know to ask, hey, so I'm in my 30s, never had a child, never been pregnant. How about you do count my eggs to make sure that I'm on track, I'm okay. Mm. Make sure I don't have infertility. Make sure that I'm straight. They're not doing any of that for women. There's also something called PCOS, which a lot of women are suffering from right now. So you see the women.
I see, I'm looking at right in my sister.
Polycystic cystic ovarian syndrome or something. I think the first word I'm a little, but whatever the case may be, it makes women's weight fluctuate. It makes the hormone, it's a serious condition that doctors aren't checking black women for. I had to bang on my actual doctor, not the OBGYN that did my surgery. She said, go back to your doctor and I need all this test done because this is your insurance. So this is what they're paying. They're like, well, what do you need? Well, first of all, bitch, I need this because you were supposed to been do this. So now I got to bang on you because you were supposed to been do this and you asking me why do I need this? And I'm telling you this. I'm going to show y'all when we get off here, whether you grossed out or not, I'm going to show you a picture of my fibroids.
Can I tell y'all? I'm going to tell y'all something. KG is my witness. Jack is not in here, but anytime it's male versus female, I always argue for men. Y'all know that. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I'm like, how can I help women?
Mm-hmm.
And not,
that's all we
and,
need.
And can I tell you why? Because I'm being educated.
Sure.
I'm not being chastised.
Right.
Like, I'm not being chastised for not knowing, because mm-hmm. it's not like, how can you punish someone for something that they don't know? But then also, mm-hmm. like, I'll give you a prime example. You said, ask a person, what you said, the fibroids?
Have you had fibroids? Have you battled with fibroids?
Okay, so I really gotta ask this. I want you to educate me right
okay.
now. So what's the difference between that and me saying, how your fibroids doing? Like, why does that feel?
Because not, first of all,
No,
you
educate
are a legend
me,
for
educate
that.
Me, I wanna know.
By the way, okay, I want a hoodie that, I need to make a hoodie that says, how your fibroids doing is actually very legendary and you're gonna get publishing on that. Well, not all women have fibroids.
Mm.
Fibroids is a growth that grows in your uterus so I may have them, Carmen may not have them. Like, it doesn't mean that every woman has them. It's just that the larger percentage, well, first of all, black and brown women are the basically only women that are battling this.
Mm.
And so there's somebody named Henrietta, Hey, what's her last name? Look her up.
Is it Henrietta Jackson?
No, good. You're getting puffed for that too. Henrietta for five words. What's Lacks. Henrietta? Lacks. I think it's Lacks. Woman. Oh. They were doing tests on this black woman, and she had bad. What? That's what her name? Wait. Oh, open up. Hurry up.
The lady that Oprah was talking about.
No, potential. No. I don't know, but she's passed. What year was this? 1940 something. Like when? In the 40s. They were using her stuff to study.
Yeah, they still do to this day.
And I think that they were utilizing that. It's definitely conspiracy based, but if she's a black woman and she had basically her uterus and like her what? Her embryo weren't good. Okay, yeah. I'm gonna send it to you, but you have to look this up because it's a reason why only black and brown women are suffering from this. It's a reason. And it's in high numbers. I'm telling you, once you do your 10, woman, you're going to be like, do you have fibroids? Do you have fibroids? It's an astronomical number.
Do you have fibroids?
All pharmaceuticals are
Based on her research from this person.
Her hormone.
That Henrietta,
The black woman always can.
Yeah.
No, but it's bad because they putting it in, it ain't good.
No, I'm just saying, the fact that research.
We the research.
That's my point.
And we're the research. Like we some guinea pigs.
Obviously I have credit check and I know we have a heart out, but I just think you're so smart. I'm not even lying to you.
I don't even know everything. I just was like, damn, there's a lot to take in.
I have not been this quiet.
I love when you talk, man.
I'm over here really concerned for y'all. As a man, I'm like, how can I help, my nigga? Like I want to
ask. These conversations are important. Yeah.
So what do you want to do? Like, are you you do events, you are a brand, but I'm like, do you want to step in front of the camera? Because I would actually tell every woman in the world to watch you, especially black. Like you gotta watch. I'm not lying. I'm being honest with you. Like, and I don't care if it's Root Call Brown Girl Lux podcast. I don't care if that's what it's called.
You have a lot to offer.
I'm being honest with you. You offer it in a way that doesn't make us feel bad.
Yeah.
And my thing is that, you know, I feel like as a community, we want to love each other.
Yeah.
We want to support each other. It just feels, it's a communication problem.
It is.
It's like, how can I speak to you in a way that you receive it? And how can you speak to me in a way where I receive it? And now that becomes a blueprint for how to speak to each other so we all can receive it.
Yeah. And it's you also, people don't feel like they're being heard, and that's the problem. So it's like, we're in this conversation, but if I don't feel like I'm being heard, now I'm battling you. Now we ain't getting nowhere. And you don't feel like you being heard. So I think sometimes we just have to step back and stop for a second and be empathetic and figure out how do we commonly get to a common ground. But I appreciate you saying that because I mean men. And I know in a world full of like the Me Toos and a whole bunch of stuff that happens with you men, I always am vocal about that. I grew up with two biological brothers, but I had a brother that was my stepbrother too. So I grew up with three older brothers and they're my first loves. You know what I mean? And so I love men. I really do. Like,
we love
I have
you.
The greatest
I
homeboys.
Say something. So we have a segment of the show we do sometimes, and instead of making them drink liquor or smoke, like most podcasts do, we make them donate to a nonprofit. I would love to just have like a bar there for you. So that way when we play the game, I'm like, you could do the Creative Academy or you could do Brown Girl Lux because.
Thank you. I don't even be asking for no money.
Nah,
thank
because
you.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie. Like, I want to help so bad. And I just
feel like
that's really my only sister sitting right there. And I want to hug her right now.
Because she understands.
No, because I feel bad that she just had a child. And there was times where I wasn't patient with her, and she just was like, "I'm going through shit," and I'm like, "I just want to hug my sister." And she can't explain it.
She don't. You can't explain that. It's like, and then you like forget.
I'm fighting a war right now. I don't know how to tell y'all.
I don't even know what's going on with myself.
I don't know how to tell y'all what's going on because I don't know how to. I don't really. But it's you have to have someone that can communicate what's happening in a way that makes people not feel bad.
That's beautiful.
Because I think that's why people fuck with the show, period. Because I don't,
absolutely.
I could talk about racism without making, I don't think no one is born bad. Mm-mm. I think we are born good and we make bad decisions based on the environment we're in. And we don't give each other that and just understand each other, but we have to. Mm-hmm. Like, you are the shit.
Thank you, Ray.
No, bro.
So much to me.
No, sis. You are the shit. You just really just like, I understand. I'm like a different person after that. when it comes to dealing with women. Because I didn't, you know, like, because like as a man, my biggest plight was always, do you understand what I'm
going through?
Do you understand how, like, especially when you start getting on the streets and you realize how many girls are out here fucking off with different niggas because that's the only way they can survive. And then you like, do you understand what I go through to make sure that everyone in my family doesn't have to go sell their soul, for lack of better words, to go survive? So it's like, I always wanted you to see me, but sometimes you got to see you first.
And you'll get so much more, and you'll get so much more
focus. And now I'm seeing you. Now I'm like, are you okay? So I mean, you just really like changed my whole perspective. And I want to give you props for that. You really need to do a pod or something. She has to.
She has to.
By the way, that's why I started doing them. That's why I started doing this, because I was doing so many interviews and people were like,
yo, you gotta talk.
You gotta talk more. That's what made me say, just I'll talk.
Men will listen.
What? Yes.
Thank you.
Because it's not wrapped in, but we are. And it's like, no, here's the fuck we are dealing with.
This is what's going on.
We just kind of.
We like facts.
Men like facts. It's not what you say, but how you say it.
Yes.
The delivery matters.
Yes. I appreciate you saying that, because I feel because
we really don't know. Right. And it's like, I can imagine how hard it's for y'all fighting battles internally. And this dude is just acting like it's normal. Like, you're like motherfucker, I'm hurting right now. Like, but we don't know why, though.
Crazy.
You could say I'm hurting, and I could think your feelings are hurt. I could think your heart is hurt.
And also, you guys think we're emotional. You think we're just being emotional. It's like, this is different. This is not the same as just being emotional. One thing I will say, all women, be very gracious and patient with women that just had a baby. Because one thing you forget, especially men that date, that are, say two people have a child, and they both were single and together, but they didn't have children. You were dating a woman that didn't have a child. Once she has that child, you're not dating a mother. She's not the same. It's a total different person that you now are in together with. And that I can't imagine. Like, my surgery, I basically had a C-section. It's called a myomectomy. It cut me just like having a baby. I didn't take care of a baby. I couldn't imagine having to take care of a baby after I had that surgery. Bro, please. No. What? No. Any woman with a C-section, you gotta understand, they're cutting you at a place where you don't understand how much you utilize this muscle. Whether you're in shape or not, you use this to do everything.
It's your core.
It's your core. You talking about, and we have what's called a fascia. Have you ever heard of that?
No, you're
dumb. That's the layer where they cut you. It's like, it's thick. It's one of the thickest parts. You know how the skin right now, if this cuts, it's right there? Yeah. Our fascia's not. It's like 8 layers of skin. So that type of recovery.
That pain. Yes.
You feel, it's insane.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had this.
I'm going to do credit check because we do it. And, you know, I just have to do it. But I'm just like I'm being honest. Like, you make me want to hang up the phone and call every woman I know and be like, are you okay?
Oh, sorry.
Are you okay?
Sorry.
Are you okay? Because as a black man, I feel like, our number one goal in life is to protect y'all. I protect the best way I know how, but I could protect better if I knew more.
If you knew
more. And I feel like I'm listening. I'm like, damn, like, you just really helped me be a better man, because you think we're all human, but we're different. And usually it's women are emotional, men aren't. It's like, okay, I know that, but that still don't make it cool until you start saying, I'm emotional because I can't help it. I bleed once a month. I have these pains. Like, I cannot help it. There's nothing I can do.
I literally have to figure out life with this.
Every man watching this, man, call some girl, you know, and just give her $10,000, man. Just
no, me. That, no, I will put that bar at the bottom. That will be, I might still have Miss Diddy's name in
my. Brown girl, look. Let's put the, make sure actually, we get the information.
Yeah, so we're going to get that, but we actually put on the Miss screen, Diddy on that 10,000. And we also
put it on the thing, but like. I want, like, I as a man.
I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but this is it. This one thing I want to say.
It's your show.
First of all, I love the show. Once you have a baby, once you have, like, the surgery I've had, once you're dealing with your hormones, we do not feel sexy. We don't feel in our bodies. We don't feel intimate. We're trying to catch a rhythm back to whatever woman we knew ourselves to be. It's not something we can control.
She like, yes.
It's not something we can control. After my surgery, I didn't like it was, and I'm chill before then, but still, I was like, it took me probably a year to feel even like,
And like no
even
baby.
A little, no baby.
Yeah.
So when women are having that battle, men, trust me, it is not personal. It's not, she's trying to figure it out herself. She's trying to figure out why she can't feel back sexy the way she felt before. Mm. It's hormonal.
Mm.
That's a real process and thing that women
and I
go
also
through.
Think that's something that a lot of white men understand that a lot of black men don't.
Sure.
Because white men are like, I'm patient with you. Yeah. I understand your hormones. Yeah. And yeah. Like, so honey, are you and we're you're like too nice for me. Yeah. But it's like, but being honest with you, it can't be that. It can't be that because it's really like they just understand.
They do.
But you know, we now us there's no excuse for no man in here now. And there's no excuse for no man listening. There's no excuse period for men. And
you ain't
shut the fuck up, Aaron.
I know that.
This nigga always got out of camera.
Now he didn't always.
I am the baby of seven sisters.
You know a little bit.
Oh, yeah, he knows.
No, I'm saying I'm very patient with women.
I believe that. I believe that.
Yeah, you are very that. Patient.
But were they dominant?
You like to do things to them too, though, nigga. Let's stop acting like you over there, like Mother Teresa. I love
no, he ain't.
You like showing them a good time.
Men think I'm a simp because
no, we don't.
They don't understand that.
No, we don't.
I understand.
Don't do that.
You understand. No, that's his game. That's his game. You say that in front of a woman. You say that.
That's why he gets. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He goes. I was raised by seven women. I know how to do hair, cook food, iron clothes. Anything you need, I can do it.
Right. Yeah.
Seven sisters. The whole time he's like, if you let me do what I want, I'm not gonna do the things I did for my sister to you though. It's gonna be other things I couldn't do to my sisters. I'm doing it.
All right,
look. So obviously we got hard. I know I got hard. We got two questions.
Because we could do this.
Last question. We the we always ask people to give. We have a segment called Credit Check, and Credit Check is where we give because everybody always say give this person their flowers, and it's like flowers die, and I ain't dead. Give me my credit, so I while I'm alive, I can leverage it. So I always say. So I'm asking you to give two or three people a shout out who were unsung heroes in the Miss Grace story that you just feel like, I want to tell you, thank you for that moment or whatever.
Okay. First person, I want to say thank for the friendship, but more so I'm proud of what he's accomplished in his career. Mm. And it goes back to Dallas Martin.
Shout out to Dallas.
Shout out to Dallas Martin. I remember when Dallas even first moved to LA, much people, when they first moved to LA, someone says, you got to connect with Miss Diddy.
Yep.
It's the person that is going to make sure you ride in the city, the whole thing. And Dallas never changed with that. Because some people do that. I put them in the right room, the whole situation. And now you think you lit in LA.
Yep.
Dallas has been my family throughout the whole time. He's as solid as they come. And also, I just remember how hard he worked on all the deals that he did, all the moves and things he was doing. I remember him being like, I had Toxic, my day party, which is the biggest day party in the world, period. And yeah, I mean, they didn't exist before Toxic, but there's, you know, pool parties in Vegas, not day parties. Yeah. And so with Toxic, I remember Dallas being like, yo, you got to put my table next to Nipsey. Because I'm trying to sign him. Like, I need you to put...
That's
I'd be
so
like,
dope.
All right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, just those type of... But he was good to me, too. Yes. We were in friendship and connection together. Like, Diddy, we going over Roddy's album. Come pull up. Like, I know Roddy wants you here. I know, you know. Yeah. And so, definitely Dallas. I'll give this to Mona Scott Young.
Mm.
I've never... In our relationship of years, because of course she feels like I'm little her in a way, which is a total honor to me. I've never felt anything but love and support from her. Not an ounce of, it's tough in this business as a good looking girl too sometimes. As a well put together. Not like, I don't mean a good looking because it's bad women.
Don't
I mean,
backtrack. Well, you good looking.
No,
let it go. Let's
you know
walk
saying,
in
there.
We
right?
giving you permission as men. We giving a permission today, to walk in there. Everybody today, got something to say, today. Say it to us. Go ahead.
Right, okay, that's what I was all. Y'all better tell them.
Yeah.
But I mean, and a well put together woman, much we were talking about earlier. Mona, I ain't never felt no hate, no weird little, you know how sometimes you be like, oh, maybe that person ain't. I caught that.
You couldn't help that one.
Ooh, you can help it.
Yes, all the time. We all the time. About
that. Like that's it. Mona has always, and I've seen her be that to so many people around her, whether they give her their flowers or not, has nothing to do with no loving hip hop shows and nothing like that. I'm talking about even in music, Violator, like she's been true to what she's done day one. So Mona. And I think just in natural form with that, I'll give it to Yandy since I'm here in Atlanta too. Love Yandy Smith. That is my sister. She has shown some loyalties to me that she didn't have to when we were early in our sisterhood. And it stood with me to a place where it's like, for me, you forever got my, I'm not playing about you, never. I'm not playing about your name, your family, none of that. Because she showed that to me early on in our friendship. And so definitely to Yandy too. And she's built, you know, again, outside of Love and Hip Hop, she's built so much.
Great businesses. Great family, great everything. Like built
and
a brand.
Music,
up.
Being and in music, being in music for
you,
so
but
long.
But you know, in our business, we're big as the person that we're behind. And now she's bigger than everybody she's ever been, that's ever been behind.
Proud of her.
She's ever been behind. So to me, it's like, you got, that's where that that's where that happiness comes from. I decide about eat today.
That's it.
I don't need this rapper to wake up and decide he wants to do something, and I gotta hope
decide.
I get my percentage.
And hope.
And hope that the like hope that they do right, or hope that if they on the ground and somebody else give them some more money to take care of me. And like it's my money. I'll take care of me, and I'm gonna take care of my people. All right, last question.
Wait, I just left her. She's in Bloomingdale's Yale Skincare.
Yes.
Y'all go check Yandy out. She's selling in Bloomingdale's, which is huge for a black brand to be in Bloomingdale's. The only way for us to continuously show up in those spaces is if we support. No way around
Absolutely.
It. Okay.
We got to be intentional with the black dollar.
Yeah.
We have to be. We have to be intentional with it right now because there's a whole lot of games being played in front of our faces.
Type of games.
We watching people stand up for their culture, for their land, for their anything unapologetically. Like, bitch, fuck you. That's ours. That's the end. So
we'll kill
as
us
black
for
people,
it.
Yes. So for us, we have to be intentional about our dollars, about how we treat each other, about how we love on each other, about how we teach each other. Like, we got to give each other grace. No point intended. I'm giving y'all Miss Grace today, but that's, you go, let's do that.
And I can't believe
we just got to love each other. But last question. The show is called The God Show. GODS is a acronym for goats and underdogs. Do you consider yourself a goat or underdog?
Both.
And if you consider yourself a goat, an underdog, I want you to tell us what you feel like you need to do to be the goat.
I feel like I'm both. I feel like my underdog part is, as much as you see the confidence, there's a lot of moments I don't feel confident or sure that what I do is being viewed in the light that I want it to be viewed, and at the high level that I feel is, because I'm not the girl that works at, I'm not the woman that's the president of Interscope. I sit outside the building and I hustle my brick in a good way. Yeah, that's my office, you know, and I'm with the people and I'm in the community and I'm in my city and I go to church in my city and I go pull up on my aunties and my cousins and my, you know?
Yeah.
And so that part, I need to get a little more confident in what I have created, because it's not until like it's kind of said, I'm like, oh, good. Like you know? And go, what's the question for the goat?
Because
it's really goated over here.
Goat shit.
That's really goated.
So let me just tell you this. We sit down in a room, and before we agree with somebody to be on the show, we say, do we consider them a goat? And if the answer is yes, we do the interview.
Yes.
That's
so you are a motherfucking goat. Let's go.
What?
About, Carmen, I got you. We about to release her.
Yes.
Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Tote and Carrie. Shout out to Yoko Vodka. And shout out to Two Loss Distribution. More importantly, shout out to you for watching. But more important than everything is shout out to this black woman doing superhero work that we all should rally around, because she just changed. I know she changed my whole life just now, and it's hard to change my life. I'm a Virgo. We think we know everything. You got to fucking break down the somatics, the facts, everything for us to be like, okay, I get it. The percentages, the way that now I know everybody go to something like, are you having issues with fibroids?
Yes,
are you okay?
Yes.
Can I do anything?
You should.
I want to do a fuck fibroid party or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
You got all the hoodies. I'm making all these hoodies with your name under, like, sign there.
But this is the God Show. Shout out to Mrs. Grace. No longer Mrs. We know. Shout out to Mrs. Grace. If you see her and you call her Mrs. the other name, she's going to correct you very, very professionally.
I'm going to be like, did y'all see the God Show? Duh. Right.
And shout out to y'all. This is the God Show. We are out. Let's go.
Yes.
Yes. Right,
he's gonna take his picture though?
No, before
he wants this drop. And I know you gotta go.
Yeah, because she gotta go.
I know you gotta go.
Yeah. This is Candace Grace.
Ooh.
The God Show with Ray Daniels. Make sure you check it out.
No, I'm gonna say Miss Diddy first, and then yes. We got some bombs to drop. Yes. That's what I'm gonna say. Are we cool with Clue?
This is the camera right here.
We need it now because I'm about to announce it. Ooh, love you.
In three.
Wait, say it again. I'm sorry. I disrespected you. You threw me off.
Hey, this is Miss Diddy. Right. Formerly
known
as Miss Diddy. Now, currently known as Candace Grace.
Oh, watching? I just did the God Show? Oh, it's after. Is this after?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ, cover me.
Right. Three, two.
Hey, guys. It's Miss Diddy. Well, now I'm Candace Grace, but I just did the God Show. Check it out.
Cut. I want to follow her though. You want to stitch it in, or you want me to redo it? I want her to tell us her follow. How to follow her?
Oh, you? I'd redo it.
Yeah,
I do it all.
Yeah, this time the God Show.
Is this your new follow tag?
Child, do you know what I'm? DJ Clark Kent right now is trying to figure out how to get my Instagram changed. It is just a lot. I can still do it at Miss Diddy. No, there's still the followers need to still come. Still got business to do now.
Okay, gotcha. All right, in three, two.
What's up, guys? It's Miss Diddy. I just did the God Show, but I did drop a bomb on there. My name is now Candace Grace, but make sure y'all follow me still at Miss Diddy, MissDiddy.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.